الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يوم ينفع الصادقين صدقهم، صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, there was a theft, and him being the Amir al-Mu'minin, it was his duty to go and investigate. For our information purposes, being an Amir in that day wasn't a thing to celebrate. Umar radiallahu anhu used to say that if a wolf had devoured a sheep on the banks of the Euphrates, then Umar will be answerable for this. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he was appointed as the Khalifa and the Amir al-Mu'minin, then for approximately 3 days thereafter, he stood up on the minbar and he says, I have been appointed to this position, but I am not capable. So I request someone capable to manage this office. The Sahaba Kiram, they were all agreed that there wasn't a person as great, as capable, as respected, and as righteous as Hazrat Abu Bakr. But within himself, this was the impression he had of himself. In the suluk that we do, someone asked Hazrat Mu'adh Hanbali Sahib rahmatullah alayh, that generally in suluk they say the last level is fana, but you speak about the first level being fana. Fana doesn't mean to destroy yourself. Destroying yourself is suicide, haram. When they talk of fana, they refer to something else. That you don't have a choice of your own. You don't make a decision and suggestion of your own in matters pertaining to your reformation and correction. By the grace of Allah Ta'ala, I was looking into the Quran Sharif and I see a verse exactly explaining the same concept. When Sulaiman alayhi salam had written his letter to Bilqis, the queen of Saba, then it was just one line. Allah ta'alu alayya wa atuni muslimin. Don't be arrogant against me and come to me in total submission. In other words, don't have any of your own ideas. Leave your own ideas and your own aspirations, and you come to me in total submission. Now, this is the first exhortation and invitation to a kafira. First invitation to a kafira. Come to me in total submission. I am going to change your whole mind around. So this is that suluk, where the whole mind is going to be changed, is going to be reshaped. is going to be remapped. Because when we think of Suluk, we have all ideas. Someone is thinking that, well, I'm here so that I can perform my namaz on time. Also, this is something in Suluk, but one aspect. Someone feels, well, my business is not so well, so I need to get into Suluk so my business will prosper. And someone feels, well, I've got some problems, health problems, marital problems, difficulties. I'll come into this, then I'll get some light. So everybody comes with a mind of his own. First step, as she's being introduced into Islam, into the right path, come to me in total submission. And this was the way of the people of the past. This tafakkud and taking care, concern about people, is not something new in Islam. It was always. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tafakkada ashabahu, is to be concerned about the sahaba kiram. If someone is ill, then to pay a visit. Perhaps he needs some attention, he needs some assistance, some type of a khidmat. Strangely, we have got it amongst us that when the person passes away, the whole town is there. But effectively, 20 people attended the janazah, and that obligation was complete. But when he really needed us, is when he was sick. Nobody to attend to him. Nobody to assist him, nobody to give him that hand. At that time, we didn't see the need of taking care of the person. When he really needed it. Many a time the person is handicapped, or he needs some type of a moral pickup, encouragement. He needs someone to give him a care. There we aren't there for the person. When the janazah we always there, we'll have to show our face. But if you look into the lives of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, then this was their life. Umar radiallahu anhu, he wanted to know how Abu Bakr started his life. So they told him, we'll find out from this old lady. Old, 100 years of age, we'll find out from her. Every morning before Fajr, because she was a handicapped woman, he will clean the house, he will clean her, all the dirt and filth, everything is cleaned out. Whatever she required for the day, he would make it available and then go for namaz. Now this is who? This is Abu Bakr Siddiq. There isn't a person in the Ummah after the Anbiya as great as him. But starts off the day as a khidmat of a person that is old, aged, nobody knows. And nobody knew until he passed away. So that was the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to go and take care. One is to make panchat. That we are very good at. Panchat, jamaat. What's happening here? What's cutting this side here? Who did this? But really, what that person needs. Many a times there are people that can't speak for themselves. He's under some zulm. He's got an illness, but he can't speak. He can't fend for himself. He can't support himself. And then, when he looks at people, he feels that I can't share my problems with people. People embarrass me and disgrace me. So he has to just stuff the problem within himself. But the sunnah of Nabi Sallam is to go and find out, to take care of people. At least 30, 40 homes around us, take care of them. Find out what's the problem. As Allah Ta'ala grants us that prosperity, then as the token that Allah Ta'ala has done this for me, we take care of His bandas. If someone is deceased, to go and sympathize with the family. If there is some type of an attention he requires, then we are providing that attention. That was the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhyiddin ibn Arabi rahmatullahi says that the same tafakkud and taking care, inspecting, is to be done on your personal self as well. He says, kanu idha faqadu a'malahum tafakkadu a'malahum. When they saw that some of their aspirations are not working out, some things are not working out, فَقَدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ, their aspirations, their hopes, they have got some plans in place, right? We will make zikr, we will make tahajjud, we will do this, and we will have a ma'mool for us. And they see things are not working out, then the first thing they would do is تَفَقَّدُوا أَعْمَالَهُمْ, they will go and inspect their own deeds. Something is wrong within us, therefore our aspirations are not working out. Now this is Muhyiddin ibn Arabi rahmatullahi, such a great personality. When he passed away, they say, Mata Qutubul Waqt. The Qutub of the Zaman had passed away. And he speaks about himself, and we see things are not working out. And then they inspect themselves in the smallest things, minutest things. We will think about the bigger things, and these people forget the bigger things, even the minutest things. Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib rahmatullahi, the Mutarjim, one of the first translators of the Quran Sharif into Urdu, Mudihul Quran. So he says about himself, his work is such a masterpiece that nearly all ulama are unanimous. If the Quran had to be revealed in Urdu, it would have been word for word as Mudihul Quran. So he must have been such a perfect person, the language, the choice of the word, and how he brought the meaning out. That was something like a miracle in itself. He spent 40 years in Etikaf, in Delhi, in the masjid, and he did this work. So at one point he found that he was on a spiritual low. Ramadan comes and we all go high. And then after Ramadan, then we spike. Up, down, up, down. And the spiking can be dangerous, both medically and spiritually. Medically they say, you're spiking too much, you know. Then you can damage some of your important organs, vital organs, spiking too fast. Some organ can get damaged very badly. But spiritually it is the same. If you're spiking too hard, sometimes then it is difficult for you to get up. You fell, and you fell so hard, now you don't know what knocked you down. And it becomes difficult for you to come up again. Al-Mawad Gangui Sahib Rahmatullah's report to have said that aadmi ke kiye karaye ke zai hone ke teen asbaab hote hai. Person has come up and is moving very well, is consistent, is progressing, but there are three basic reasons for his collapse. Now, Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi is such a person that Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi, that's the leader of this entire caravan, he had the greatest of confidence in him. If other people came and offered some assistance to express his leg or some khidmat, he would accept it. But if Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi had to come, he wouldn't accept it. If Hazrat Mawlana Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullahi had to send a gift, Hazrat Hadi Sahib Rahmatullahi would say, to ye, Mawlana Gangohi Rahmatullahi ka tabarruk hai, would kiss it and place it on his head. So this is the respect he gave him. And he would say that actually it's supposed to be the other way around. That he's supposed to be in my place and I was supposed to be in his place. But the taqdeer had it in this way, so we're running the lives this way, but really he's supposed to be in my place and I was supposed to be in his place. He reached that maqam. And he says that a man spikes and he goes down, and the reason for his going down, one of three. Sometimes the misuse of the tongue, right? Whether eating or whether speech, sometimes it's actions, and sometimes it's wrong association. These are the three things that damage you. And when you talk of association, association doesn't only mean a person. Association refers to everything that influences you, whether it's media, whether it's SMS, whether it is WhatsApp, whatever. But something that will influence you, something that will attract you. Now this is what is called wrong association. So we're coming back to that incident of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he says that there was a robbery, there was a theft in Medina Munawwara. So he had to go to the site. He's the Amirul Mu'minin, as insignificant as it may be, may sound, but he's the Amir, so he has to go and check personally what happened. So a group of Sahaba, Tabi'in, etc. must have accompanied him to the site. And everybody gives his suggestion, this must have happened, this is how it happened, in the future what we're supposed to be doing. They're still trying to work it out. One person is there at the scene, and he says, you know what must have happened? The person that was stealing, he must have taken his rope, and he must have strapped it onto the first floor. In the old days, most of the homes used to be made of clay and mud. So they would strap it, they would clam up, and then dig into the wall. Easy. It's clay, like how you find mud homes. So he digged into the wall, made a crevice, and then I jumped in, I stole and came away. But Umar apprehended him straight away. His acknowledgement, confession. Self-confession. So, this truth must surface one day. It must surface. No matter what you do, how you go about doing things, but it must surface one day. It must win one day. قَالَ اللَّهُ هَذَا يَوْمُ يَنْفَعُ الصَّادِقِينَ صِدْقُهُمْ. And the truth must be all around. When we talk about truth, then truth we restrict it to speech. Truth in the heart, tongue, and behavior. Now that's called a siddiq, where there's a uniformity, consistency in all three. In the speech, heart, and your behavior. So your behavior is not betraying what you say, and your tongue is not betraying your heart. Some years ago, about 20 years ago, so I was in the Spingo Beach Masjid, top Masjid, Jama Masjid, right? So I see all of a sudden one person not coming to Masjid at all. Not at all. Youngster suddenly start coming in. I got very excited. MashaAllah, Tabligh Jamaat is doing something here. They got this person here. He's coming 5 times Namaz. And after the Namaz, he's making some zikr. He's got some paper, he's reading something. After about 3 months or so, his nikah was done. And then, yehja oja, khalas. After his nikah was done, he's gone. Nowhere to be seen. So all that wazifa was to impress someone. Because I'm a pious person, I'm a namazi and all that. Once he got what he wanted, then he's gone. We had that old muazzin there in Spingo Beach Masjid. He's passed away now. So he used to say, lo ana shlapuga and a figure of masjid. Lo ana shlapuga, I figure of masjid. The one that is in problems, he'll come to the masjid. Got no problems, what's the need to come? You must have a genuine need to come to the masjid. No, I got no problems now. Why must I come to the masjid? So that's the mentality. Now he's watching it because he's seeing the whole drama. He's seeing everything that's happening because people are giving some nazar or something to him. Hey, make dua for me. Make dua for me. So he's seeing what's going on. So his analysis can be very, very right, very true. Nonetheless, I just wanted to share one hadith with you. As a prelude to the hadith, I just related the incident about truth. We want for ourselves that we want to secure the love of Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but we want it both sides. We want to give love and we want to receive love as well. Love is not just one-sided. It is a two-sided thing. You love and you receive love. If love and muhabbat was one-sided, then we would have married many queens. But love is a two-sided thing. You give and you want to receive as well. It's a two-sided thing. So you want to give Allah Ta'ala your love and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam your love, but you want to receive something in return as well. Then you see that the love is complete. So Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted the best for his ummah. He didn't want anything deficient, nothing short. On one occasion, he addressed the Sahaba Kiram and he says to them, that do you want this? That Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must love you. And you in turn must also love Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Obviously, that's what's the whole essence of life. The whole essence of life after we make the whole mathematics and everything. This is what we want. That we want a straight, proper, clean line with Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we want them also to love us. Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to love us. We got that we want. Do you want anything else? This is the whole equation of life. As we are coming to our end, we must come in to the end, to the winning line. We must come in cheerfully, we must come in, and we must come in as though Allah is embracing us and we are embracing Him. We want it to happen in that way. Don't want it. Life is the greatest of teachers, life. I was explaining one person today. Allah Ta'ala has created us in a state of weakness. See, the child that is born, very weak, can't even turn. Then slowly you develop, slowly. Your strength, your organs, your limbs, everything develop very, very gradually. Then you peak around the age of 33. Both physically and mentally, you peak around the age of 33. So that's the peak of human life. Physically and mentally, you are in your peak. Then from 33, then ashuddahu wastava, then you go straight. till the age of 40. See like a graph, you know, going like this incline. Then as you come to 40, then you straight, going straight till 40. And then from 40 onwards, then is a decline. But now, we looking at life only from one perspective, I'm 40, right? And then we camouflage the whole picture. The right thing is to see this whole picture in reality, look at it practically, look at it correctly. Don't let this be a dream, look at it practically, look at it correctly. When a person is around 40, what happens? One is he becomes mentally mature. Second is this, he's almost a grandfather, or he's already a grandfather at the age of 40. Because around 20, 21, he got married, right? Then if he got a child or a daughter, 18, she got married, right? So she became a mother after 1 year or something. So around 40, you became a grandfather. So when you became a grandfather, then you saw the entire cycle of life. The whole cycle of life just worked before you, played out just before you. You saw childhood, you saw the teens, you saw adulthood, and you saw the person becoming a parent. So the whole life has played out before you. Everything of life. When I say everything of life, literally I mean everything of life has played out before you. Everything. There isn't a thing of life that has not played out before you. You have seen deaths, you have seen births. You have seen illnesses, and you have seen people restoring health. You've seen adversity, you saw prosperity, right? Someone crashing, business going down, and someone coming up. So you saw life from every dimension. You've been to places at the age of 40, you see, visited the Far East, Far West, you saw the North, everything you've seen. So what you're supposed to be seeing, what you're not supposed to be seeing, you saw everything. So every aspect of life you have seen. Now, when you have examined every aspect of life, now it's just a replay of life. The whole life has played out before you. Now it's just a replay. When it's a replay, you get bored. Now you saw the film for the first time. Na'uzubillah, forgive us. But we saw the thing for the first time. Second time, I saw this already. I don't want to see it again. Or someone tells you a story for the second time. I heard this story. I don't want to hear it for the second time. Now, the time is that we're supposed to be looking at life from a different perspective. We saw the whole physical dimension, biological, physical dimension, material dimension we've seen. But what we fail to do is not to look at life from a spiritual dimension. We saw it from a material perspective. Physical, biological, we've seen everything. Didn't we see everything? We've seen material, we've seen growth, we've seen children, we've seen grandchildren, everything we've seen at the age of 40. Now what we missed out is we didn't look at life from a spiritual perspective and a dimension. See, Allah Pak has kept one faculty in us. We call it the intelligence, right? You know, in any plant or any industry, any factory or any company, etc., person gets paid according to his portfolio. What portfolio he's got, accordingly he gets paid out. He's got the most important portfolio, then you pay him out accordingly. But that will mean that his work is also most important. He's the brain of the factory. He's the brain of the plant. So you see him right also accordingly. But then his work also is most delicate, because you know what he means to you. Now in your entire body, the most important thing is your brain. And the proof that the brain is the most important thing, just delete the brain from the equation. What are you? Down syndrome. What are you? Are you worth anything? You're gone now. No brains. Are you worth anything? You're not worth anything. People feel embarrassed now. This child of mine is a Down syndrome. He can't do anything. How do you feel? If your eyes go, it's all right. You can still carry on with life. Ears go, you can still continue. Your speech go, you can still continue. But if your brain go, gando theo, vaishal. He's got no brains. He can't function. So the brain was the most important thing. So when you reach 40, then you are mentally also most mature. Now you're supposed to be looking at life from a different dimension. But strangely, around the age of 40, he's still getting caught into amusement, entertainment, someone going sports, soccer, cricket. Where are we going? You know, Malaika will see us and really, really, they'll feel embarrassed. They feel embarrassed, they feel ashamed. Like how you see an adult playing with a plastic scooter, what do you feel? So how, this is exactly how the Malaika are looking at us. What is he doing? He's looking at sports, cricket. What do you get out of it? There's more important things, there's greater objectives that you're supposed to be striving towards. Are you moving in that direction? You're looking at these things here, and you don't see the reality of life. You know, one person explained very well. He says, we aspire for a name, our company, our family, our whatever. We aspire for a name, right? But how long? Until you hit the grave. The moment you did, then the title, now it's marhum. He was a doctor, he was a person with so much of degrees, PhD, etc. The moment he died, you don't say professor, now you say marhum, bichara, marhum ho gaya. Don't we say that? The title, everything is wiped off. Tell us. End of the story. So, someone asked me today, one person wanted to change his life. This morning, about 11, 12 o'clock. He wanted to change his life. So I spoke to him about, with similar lines. So he says to me, but Mora, within what frame of time? Within what frame of time must I change? So I told him, it's a wrong question to ask. You're asking me, within what frame of time? It's a wrong question to ask. So why? You see, you can ask the question that within what frame of time, if you're guaranteeing me that you can live for the next hour. When you can't guarantee, then you need to be correct now, this moment. In the last 3 weeks, how many deaths didn't we hear of after Ramadan? So many, this person dying here, that youngster, old man, old lady, this person dying, that person. What frame of time you began to cry? Person was sincere, he began to cry. And I told him, you can't ask within what frame of time. Yes, you may say, I know that I must do it immediately. I must do it immediately. But how must I start off? So I told him, what you lack is determination. What's to be done is to be done by you. I can't act for you. You can go to a health specialist. He can put you onto a diet plan. This is how you must eat, etc. But the plan is going to be executed by yourself, not me. I can't carry out the plan. For your health, you have to do it. For your spiritual growth, for your spiritual betterment, you will have to do it. I can't do it for you. How can I do it? You are responsible for yourself. وَلَا تَزِيرُ وَازِيرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. What you're going to strive for, that's what's going to be your reward. So the moment your eyes closed, all the titles, the name, everything is gone. Everything is gone. Nobody is going to say about the wedding that you made. Oh, that wedding, what would you spend and what you did. Everything, the name, that reputation, that image, everything is wiped off, gone. You're in the archives now. The second thing we are most concerned about is our image. How do we look amongst people? Our clothing, our apparel. Amongst people, how do we fare? What people have to say about us? What are the looks like? What are the features like? We're very concerned. We'll fly over from one part of the world to the other part of the world to get married to a girl just because of her looks and features. Right. So, looks, features, apparel, etc. But after death, right, what is the clothing and the apparel is the kafan. That kafan now, nobody you will find, you won't find in an Islamic mayat, in a mayat, nobody will be complimenting, hey, I kafan to wo bharach, man. Nobody will be talking about it. Nobody will pray. Nobody will say that. This is imported from China. You know, pure silk. Nobody will talk about it. Whoever died, whichever buzurg died, or whoever died, you will not find a single soul that's around there is going to be praising the kafan. So your name is marhum. Your clothing is kafan. And the property, the house, the investments that you've been aspiring, you've been killing, you've been taking out your blood and your sweat, right? You've given your day and your night, you've been fighting tooth and nail. Now, for that investments, your home, etc., what it is the Qabristan. Literally a mourning side. Little Morningside. So you see the whole journey of life from the beginning right to the end. So we're coming back to the story. The Sahaba Ikram are saying, Nabi Sallam, yes, we want this. We don't want to be spiking like this, going up and down like this. We want to go consistent plan, progressing, picking up speed as we're going, picking up speed. It's a thing, death is a reality. We want to delete it from the equation. But it can't. Sometimes it's the midst of all the enjoyment and some mishap. Doesn't it happen in the midst of the person's holiday? He's in the midst of the holiday, he's sitting in Disneyland, enjoying in the midst of his enjoyment, and here he hears that his son passed away. Someone passed away in an accident. Sometime at the holiday, and there was a crash and something happened, the wife passed away. Don't we have this type of stories? So you can't guarantee anything. A Muslim at the age of 35, 40, now, right, open your brains, open your intelligence. Why? It's for that kafir who is a materialist who thinks like that. Because the materialist only thinks of what he believes in, that what his senses can perceive. What his senses can perceive, he believes in that. We think like this, that life starts after death. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ اللَّهُمَّ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ. So us, our life actually begins after death. Not like how people say, someone say at the age of 20 life starts, at the age of 40 life starts. Real life starts at death. So the first thing in this plan of consistency, and, you know, picking up speed, where every coming day Allah Ta'ala is loving you, Rasulullah is loving you, and you are loving Rasulullah. The first thing is to get this truth into this whole equation. And I say that this truth, it pays out. And falsehood also, it will show. Any element of falsehood, whether it's the niyat, whether it's in the heart, whether it's on the tongue, whether it's on the conduct, it's going to show out. Well, the Mufti Sahib used to give one incident. Up until that time we were in India, and they used to sell milk. They would go around the homes or the doors, they would go around, knock, and they'll have milk in the bucket. So they'll have a glass, like half a liter or quarter liter. How much you want? Quarter liter, half a liter. So they will measure it with a measuring cup and they'll give it to you in your utensil. The bucket there, normally it is about 20 liters, right? So one wisecrack, he thought to himself, you know what I can do? I can have half the milk and load it with water. So I will get double the money. I will just slightly make my price a little bit cheaper. And I can double the price. I can get double money, double profits. So he sold all his milk for the money, all in his batwa, in his wallet. He found a nice well somewhere around with a tree above. So he's resting, fast asleep. Now, the monkey sees something colorful, you know. Speaking of which, you got a lot of monkeys there. So you got something colorful, that thing gets very attracted. Orange, red, that type of colors. Now, his wallet was also very attractive. So that thing pulled that thing. Before he can get up, that thing's gone up the tree. As he goes up, now he sees that the wallet's up. Beneath is the well. So the monkey opens the wallet to see now, is there anything, any edible here? Any eatables here? So nothing here, it's only cash. Nothing, it doesn't mean anything to it. So he's taking out the rupees. 1 rupee it's putting into the water, throwing into the water. 1 onto the land. 1 onto the water, 1 onto the land. So his whole analysis is, dood ka dood, pani ka pani. Dood ka dood, pani ka pani. This is a whole analysis of life. We're not going to be true in our business, whatever. That money is going to get wasted somehow. It's going to get burnt. It's going to get wasted. People put wrong ideas into your mind. Oh, there's a wedding. You've got one daughter now, one son. You need to splash it out. 5 million, just bust it up. So you're not worried of Allah Ta'ala. You're not worried about His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're not worried about anything. But splash it out. Splash it out. So Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani used to say that from your expenses, I work out your income. Your income is not right, so your money is getting wasted like this. This is, as I say, Abdul Qadir Jilani, the Piran al-Pidi saying this. When he sees your expense, he sees you didn't earn properly. Had you been earning properly, truthfully, correctly, sweat of the brow, it would have been wasted like this. See how he's working it out. So the truth has got a flavor of its own. It's got an effect of its own. One person, ordinary musafir, in India, up to the time that we were there, up to now you find it, that in the smaller villages, there aren't any inns, hotels, etc. So people will go and rest in the masjid for a day, 2 day musafir, come and stay. And the village people will offer some. Someone will bring some roti, someone will bring some milk. And he will just complete his day like that and he'll continue. So the musafir came there. And someone, some poor farmer, he offered food for the first day, second day, third day. And then by the third day, this person that is bringing the food, he says to this musafir that you need to go now. You know, 3 days, you overstayed your welcome. Now you need to move on. So he says, but why are you insisting? Why do you insist that I must move on? And why? So the farmer is asking, but why are you insisting staying here? You insisting on me to move on. And then, you know, why do you want me to move away from here? What's the secret behind this? So he says, you see, it's just me, my wife, and my daughter. So you are a mehman, the sunnah is that you must take care of you 3 days. Diyafatu salatatu ayyam. 3 days. So the first day, myself, my wife, and my child, whatever was our food portions we have given, we stayed hungry. The second day, I couldn't see the hunger on my child's face, so me and my wife, we sacrificed our share and we gave it to you. The third day, my wife also couldn't manage it. She had to eat. I stayed hungry. Now 3 days I'm hungry. But then why don't you want to move from here? He's asking the musafir, but why don't you want to move from here? He says, you see, for the 3 days that I'm staying here, I'm eating your food. But the barakat of your food is such that for 3 days I'm seeing Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam consecutively. And I'm seeing I'm so spirited in doing work. The spirit, the motivation to do work is just natural. I don't want to do anything haram. Not for a second I want to do anything haram. Not a pawn side, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I'm so clear, I'm so, everything. I don't have any doubts in it, my deen. In my deen, my namaz, in my Islam, I got absolutely no doubts. My mind is absolutely clear. So, if you can be eating this all the time, what must be the level of your iman? That I had been eating yours just for 3 days, and there's a whole revolution that's carrying on within me. I don't have any doubts. There's a motivation, there's a drive. I don't have any drive towards doing any wrong. All the day I just want to remember Allah Ta'ala. I'm feeling so happy within myself, so content and satisfied. This is the force of halal, barakat of halal. Like haram got an effect, then halal also has got an effect. So this is the first aspect in this whole plan. Truthful. We don't compromise in this truth. That was a Muslim, it was a hallmark of a Muslim, truthfulness, honesty. He'll never compromise in these respects. Never. Come what may, the world comes to an end, but his word is his honor. He's honest about what he's saying, what he's doing, his practices, he's very honest. You can't point a finger towards him in that respect. Now, we feel, no, the quantity we need to make, the quantity, quality is alright now, you know, today in this world, you can't only eat halal. You'll have to make a little bit of haram this side, that side, then you can make your things work for you. So every second person will talk the same way. That, you know, if you want to do very halal, then you can't work, can't live in this world. Right? Where there's a will, there's a way. When you want to do it, Allah Ta'ala will create an opening. مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. You are taking care of Allah Ta'ala, He'll take care of you. Short. You taking care of Allah Ta'ala, اِحْفَظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ. You take care of Him, He will take care of you. If he's taking care of all those people that are doing haram, you are planning and committing yourself to the truth. You think he will disregard you. How wrongly are we thinking? See, no, we don't do any haram, we don't mix it up, then things can't work out for us. As though we're saying to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak, you know, you need to review your whole system. Your whole system is not working today in the 21st century. That's what we are saying. Are we truthful then to Allah Ta'ala? So one is truth. And one is, number two is honesty. And the third is, Ahsin jiwara man jawarak. I spoke about this thing deliberately. My mind was going in different direction what to speak about. But then one thought Allah put in my mind, that when a thing is becoming extinct, then it is most valuable. You know, things that is extinct, it becomes most valuable. You got one coin now, say, is dating up to 1700s. One gold coin. You'll fetch a fortune for it, isn't it? Because it's extinct. Nobody has got such a coin. You got a registration, ND1. How much you'll pay for it? You have to auction that thing, isn't it? Something that is extinct, very rare, you're going to pay a price for it. So today, the thing that's becoming extinct is these things. Truth, honesty. And Nabi Sam is counting it amongst the tokens of Qiyamah. إِذَا دُيِّئَتِ الْأَمَانَةُ فَانْتَزِرِ السَّاعَةُ When that amanat, trust, honesty, truth, all will go away, then just wait for Qiyamah to come. You can see it in people's actions, behavior, interactions, socializing. You can see all these things. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to see these things. So the third thing Nabi Sam speaks about is أَحْسِنْ جِوَارَ مَنْ جَاوَرَكَ Be good in your companionship. In company, be good. Now this is a very, very comprehensive lesson. Very comprehensive lesson. But just that we're not using our minds to understand this. It can apply to your neighbor, take care of him. It can apply to your traveling companion, take care of him. Don't speak about things that will hurt the person. Now, for example, it's a non-Muslim that is there. Then you're not going to talk to him. You're not going to talk to the non-Muslim, oh, you urine drinkers. You're not going to talk to him like this. You're not going to talk to him in a disgusting manner to hurt the person. You're not going to talk to him. Instead of attracting the person towards Islam, you're going to chase him further away from Islam. So whoever is your neighbor, take care of him. That doesn't mean now you must become too sweet towards the woman. Because the hadith warns you about this. Halilata jarik. Your wife, your neighbor's wife, be even more careful about this. For those women that you can socialize very easily with, then you become even more careful about that. Because the one that is stranger, then you can't just build up a contact, or you can't just develop a contact with her. Someone that is very close, socializing, coming next to you, living in a next door flat. So you have to be even more cautious about your secretary, the woman that is working with you, your nurse, in the hospital or in the surgery. You have to be even more careful about that. Because you are interacting all the time, you seeing her, she seeing you. So there's a lot of familiarity. And the familiarity, then one thing will lead to the other. So be even more careful about this. But the same token, when you are in a public place like a masjid, etc., then be careful about the person that's around you. The one is, how are you going to park your car? People that are around you now, are you taking care of them? So no, I must get a takbir ula. And then we're not worried about jamming any other person. Perhaps we have parked the car incorrectly and jammed 10 people. How inconvenient, how inconsiderate it can be. The person that is in the masjid and we next to him, we have to be considerate about him as well. The odor from our mouth. Ramadan time especially, someone is eating all bhajiya, samosa, adrak and all that, and then he's taking out that dakar. The whole masjid is smelling. You can get the smell coming out. You know, how inconsiderate, we need to understand, all right, just make the, just decrease the food now, just have something minimal, so that you don't have that burping problem, and you don't fumigate the masjid here. Right? Some consideration, respect for others, right? Then the hadith speaks about not crossing before a musalli. Similarly, not making any worldly announcements or talking of worldly things. Even the recitation of the Quran Sharif, whilst a person is performing namaz and you reciting Quran Sharif at the top of your voice, incorrect. You say, no, I'm reading Quran Sharif. Yes, but that person is performing namaz. You're inconveniencing. Yes, if it's a time that everybody is making zikr, he's making zikr, that side, you're making zikr, everybody is doing something loudly. It's a program that you're having. It's a different thing. Like we've got a program here. Now nobody can come and say, that you know, disturbing me, I'm going to read my nafil namaz. Because we've got a program on. We can't say now that I'm reading my nafil namaz and you're disturbing me. Can't say that. The program was scheduled for this masjid in this manner. So disturbing anybody in any way. By the same token, you know, it's coming under the purview, the ambit of this hadith. Ahsin jiwara man jawarak. Person that is around you, next to you, be considerate towards him. Right. You find a small place in the first surf. Now, you are a double-sized person.
and you try to gap in. What's going to happen? It's going to be difficult. Now some person goes even above the limit, he'll go above that. He'll try and force himself. If you're a single size, it's alright. But if you're a double decker and you're trying to force yourself, what's going to happen? It's going to inconvenience the one on the right and the left. Now in that, he can see now this is got a commotion and he's in a squeeze. And then when it's the time to sajda, he'll dive into sajda first. Now you see all the drama. Bhai, kiske saath tumhari, tumhara jor kiske saath hai? Ye khel hai ya khuda ki ibadat hai? Kya hai? And then after the namaz, you know someone is going to give him a look or something. So before the person gives him a look, he'll look at him. Ye kya tamasha hai bhai? Ye namaz hai ya tamasha hai? Are we coming to spy, to show a point, or to offer an ibadah to Allah Ta'ala? The spirit of ibadah is different. And the spirit to spy, to show a point is a different thing. This you're doing for Allah Ta'ala, and you have to be considerate of every person in the masjid. Every person is important. He is relating directly with Allah Ta'ala. As the Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Ahmad says, that even wearing a tight-fitting clothing, right? Person is wearing a tight-fitting clothing, first of all, it's not supposed to be coming to the masjid. In the old days, they should have a jubba that at least will conceal the contours and the shape of your body. Now, that is also gone. Got a tight-fitting, alright, wear a jubba and come and perform your namaz. But now, with a tight-fitting clothing, you're coming right into the first serve. Everybody's watching. Sometimes the jean is so tight, you know, that you are afraid now that you're just going to burst the seams. Kya hoga? Kya hoga? So he says that that person mustn't even sit in the first serve. You're showing your whole body, your satar is showing out. The contours of your body, shape, everything is showing out. Not supposed to be there. By the same token, people that are wearing clothing with printed shirts, branded names. You're coming here, sitting in the masjid. Oh, what are you supposed to be doing? Concentrating towards Allah Ta'ala or reading all that? The fuqaha have stated that the wall of the Qibla, see the wall of the Qibla, don't let there be any designs and cosmetics on that direction, because it's going to distract. Nabi saw some wore one shawl one day, and there was some type of some embroidery, whatever. He removed that thing after the namaz. Get me that injabaniya, that plain cloth. Because this thing is distracting me. Now Nabi saw must have done this to impress upon us, though he can't be affected, because he is so great, he can't be affected. But people like us will definitely be affected. So in order to impress upon us, by wear plain clothing, it will not distract you in your namaz. By the same token, I add just one additional thing. I ask if all these things are distracting, the ring of on the cell phone, doesn't it distract? A man is concentrating towards Allah Ta'ala, and you have distracted the person. You know, the awliya kiram say, man ashghala za shaghilin. أدركه المقت في الوقت من أشغل ذا شاغل أدركه المقت في الوقت. Person was concentrating towards Allah. He was making dua, Quran, full hearted there. And suddenly your phone went on, right? And he got distracted. So their experience is Allah Pak's curse is coming to you. Because you distracted the person. He was so well concentrating towards Allah Ta'ala. You were so inconsiderate that you distracted him completely from what he was doing. So you are not going back with blessings, you are going back with curses. You are going back with curses. So it's the house of Allah Ta'ala, the respect that we need to show it. One last respect of the masjid, that I say, wherever I'm going nowadays, but the hadith says it very clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةُ Allah Pak and His Malaika, they make special du'as for the people that are in the front serve, the front rows. As though you came to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, I need your blessings. I need some help. So Allah Ta'ala will tell you that come in the front row, I'll help you. But now you are sitting right at the back, leaning against the wall. So as though you are showing attitude to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, you can keep your gifts to yourself. That's the attitude you are showing. Allah Ta'ala is saying, if you want it, come here, let's line up here. So I don't want to line up, I'll just sit in the back. Who are we showing attitude to? Allah Pak is saying clearly, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَةُ Allah Ta'ala and His Farishta, they are making dua for those people that occupy the front rows. You don't find the first row, second row. This is a tartib of the masjid. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq, truth, honesty, and be good towards people that we associate, we have to live with, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's the person in the masjid, whether it's a travel companion, whether it's a business partner, whoever it is. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna min al-khasirin. Rabbana faghfir lana dhunubana wa kaffir anna sayyi'atina wa tawaffana ma'a al-abrar wa ma'atina fi dunya hasana wa fi al-akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه.